Good morning, everybody. And let us pray before we begin. Father, as we look at your word, may it be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you might like to turn back to the reading that Jonathan read out of Luke 24, as we're going to look at it under three headings, and each heading begins with the letter C. Now, I wonder, did many of us last night watch the Eurovision? Well, I have to confess, I didn't for many years, and I did last night, and actually I quite enjoyed it. But there were many surprises in the show. And I wonder, have you ever had a surprise that was almost too good to be true? In our passage today, the disciples must have felt a bit like that. Jesus, whom they had loved, admired, and respected, whom they had lived with and followed for several years, had been handed over and executed, crucified on the cross. Jesus was dead. And with his death, their hopes and confidence in Jesus must have also died somewhat too. I'm sure they would have wondered if they had been mistaken. Was Jesus just a good man who was now dead? Or was Jesus really the long-awaited Messiah, the one who came from God as Saviour? He had given them such hope. He had showed such love and such power. The disciples were probably confused and yet hopeful at the same time, when some of the others claimed that the tomb was empty, Jesus was alive again, and he had met with them. Well, there was another long-running show on British television called Surprise, Surprise, and I don't know if RTE had something equivalent, but in this show, at the very end, there was always a surprise reunion, when out behind a curtain came a long-lost relative from Australia or America. And the family at home, they were always surprised, and they often cried with shock and with joy. In verse 36, we are told that while the disciples were still talking, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Luke tells us that his disciples were startled, frightened, joyful, and amazed. And Jesus showed them evidence that it was really him. He showed them his hands and his feet, presumably with the wounds from the nails. And he showed them that he could eat something, broiled fish. Jesus wanted them to be sure that he was alive. He had risen from the dead, just as he had promised. Verse 44 says, Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." Jesus was in effect saying to the disciples, "I told you so." I don't know if anybody ever told you that, "I told you so." But that's what Jesus was in effect saying here. And he opened their minds as well to the many promises and prophecies in the Old Testament about the Messiah that had been fulfilled in his life. He gave them lots of evidence. There was the physical evidence of his body. There was oral evidence, what he had told them. And then written evidence of the Old Testament. In the Acts of the Apostle, Luke tells us that Jesus actually, he didn't just appear a few times to the disciples, but it was over a period of 40 days, so it was over a month, and he gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. And there's the first C. The disciples became convinced that Jesus Christ had risen, that he really was God's Son, the Messiah, and that he was alive. I don't know if I've told the story before of the pastor in a village that I heard several years ago, and it's a true story, but it was a pastor was in a village when the militants came, and they made him dig a large pit, and he and his wife and his children were made stand in it. He was told that they would all be killed unless he renounced his belief in Jesus. His wife spoke reassuring to the children and reassured them not to be afraid, that they would all be soon in the very presence of Jesus. They refused to renounce their faith and they were all killed. Now that is shocking, isn't it? But the pastor and his wife were convinced about the truth of Jesus. They were convinced. But are we? There's an ancient short prayer and it says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And maybe in that prayer, there's an acknowledgement that for us, often there can be a mixture of belief and unbelief. But Jesus wants us, like his early disciples, to be convinced of who he is, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And why is that so important? It's because if we hold that conviction, it has huge implications on how we live and die as well. So this week, two things. Let's ask God to reveal the truth about Jesus to us, to open our minds and understanding as we read the Bible. And secondly, let's examine the evidence for ourselves. The disciples became convinced, there was the first C, and then they were commissioned. That's the second C. That means they were given a job. Verse 46 says, Jesus told them, this is what was written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses. You are witnesses of these things. Jesus commissioned his disciples and he gave them a job. And the job was to tell others about him, to tell others about the forgiveness of sins that Jesus was offering to all those who would repent and turn to him. And you know, Jesus wasn't just commissioning the early disciples with that job. His commission applies to every Christian. We too have the job of spreading the good news about Jesus. I'm sure that we are very grateful to those who explained or witnessed to us about Jesus. Now, the Eurovision wasn't all that popular, but do you like watching courtroom dramas on TV? Maybe some of us do and some of us don't. I don't, because many years ago I was frequently in court and it just makes me too nervous to look at courtroom dramas. But there often a person was called to be a witness and they have to step into the witness box and give evidence. And sometimes these people were very nervous, which was understandable. But we always tried to reassure them beforehand and just told them to tell the truth. A good witness is someone who is honest and who speaks with first-hand knowledge of the subject that they are talking about. So let me ask you, if each one of us, one by one, were hauled across the road into the courthouse and asked to witness about Jesus, what would you say? Would you be a good witness honest, and speaking from first-hand knowledge of Jesus? Have we first-hand knowledge of repenting and receiving forgiveness for our sins? Do we witness about Jesus to friends and family or strangers when the opportunity arises? I know sometimes it's hard to get workmen, and I imagine if you found a great plumber or a helpful car mechanic, although you might be tempted to keep that information to yourself, you probably would tell your closest friend about them. And in the same way, since we have found the one who forgives our sins, who gives us new life and an assurance when we die that we will go to heaven, that's certainly great news worth sharing, isn't it? Jesus instructs his followers to be witnesses and to tell the world about him, starting where we are with the people around us and then moving outwards. So this week, we could ask Jesus to reveal his truth to us and impact us in a personal way so that we have a first-hand testimony to share. And then we can also pray and ask God to help us to share with someone about Jesus and how he has made a real difference to our own lives. So they were convinced by the evidence, commissioned as Jesus' witness. But there's one more important C in this passage. From verse 14:8, Jesus says, "You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So the final C is clothed with power. The disciples were to start in Jerusalem and to move out preaching to all nations. God wants everybody to hear of his love and to hear the good news of salvation. Now that was a huge and a daunting task, and they certainly couldn't do it in their own strength. And that's why Jesus told them they had to wait and to be clothed with power, the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke's second book, the Acts of the Apostles, he tells us what happened next. And there we read how the disciples were indeed clothed and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We read how that impacted their own lives, and how the Holy Spirit led them and empowered these ordinary men and women to spread the good news of Jesus. You know, if the disciples who had lived with Jesus for several years and got to know him well, if they had been taught not by a person but by him directly, if they had seen his many miracles and healings, if Jesus said that they needed the power of the Holy Spirit, then how much more do we? Yes, we have the written word of God, but we also need to be empowered from on high like them. You know, nowadays, if you look around the world, there are places where Christianity is growing. And I was in a church, I don't know whether it was last summer or before, but a church in England, and they had an area cordoned off for buggies and pushchairs, and it was full. I was almost going to take a photograph of the pushchairs, but I felt too much like a tourist. There were lots of people in church in their 20s and 30s, and there are places where Christianity is growing. And there are other places where it is in decline, and the growth is not confined to one denomination or to one nationality. But the people who study church growth say there are three common denominators where the church is vibrant and growing. And they are where the Bible is read and believed, where there is prayer, And thirdly, where there's an honouring and empowering of the Holy Spirit. So again, this week, why not read on in the Bible into the Acts of the Apostles for yourself? Or we could pray to God to empower us by his Holy Spirit as we seek to be good witnesses of Jesus. So to finish, the three C's that we find are that the disciples were convinced by the evidence, they were commissioned as Jesus' witnesses, and they were to be clothed with power. And this is what Jesus wants for his early disciples, and he wants that for us too, as his disciples today. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, may we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen.
Respond to the call of God's word as we sing together number 400 and